tit-for-tat spat between U.S. President Donald Trump and Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg playing out online Wednesday as the social media giant prepares to hand congressional investigators over 3,000 political ads that it says were likely purchased by Russian entities during and after last year's presidential contest. Facebook, Twitter, and Google officials have all been called in to testify publicly before the Senate Intelligence Committee on November 1st to address the Russian influence peddling issues.
So right now you're kind of looking at early production where they're just trying to get the line running and work the bugs out. I think investors will look at this as, yeah, there are bottlenecks, but it's early days. The good news is that the more expensive vehicles, the established cars that they sell are still doing well, and nobody is avoiding those, waiting for the Model 3 instead. They're still buying the $100,000 Model S and Model X cars.
So what's next for the Rajoy government?
So the question really is, what would the regional government do next? And I think we're probably looking at a unilateral declaration of independence on their part, probably in the coming days. Now, unilateral declaration of independence is a mainly symbolic act, does not carry any tangible, practical, legal implications. But the main consequence, I think, will be to invite probably an even stronger, even more forceful response on the part of the central government, which in turn is bound to escalate the situation even further.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's October 3rd, 2017. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day underway. We have lots to cover this morning in the program. A little bit later on in the show, we'll be talking about holiday shopping, specifically what Walmart is trying to do for the holiday. Are they trying to give Amazon a run for the money? In just a minute, we'll bring in our first guest, too. It's Coffee Tuesday. Kevin Sinnott is here. He's the creator of Coffee Con. And he's making coffee now in the studio, and it's wonderful. So we'll bring in Kevin just momentarily. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up 30. NASDAQ and S&P futures are a little bit higher as well. Global shares this morning, the markets in Europe are generally higher, with the FTSE in London up just a fraction, about 0.5% higher in France, and about 0.25% higher in Germany this morning. And in Asia, the Nikkei is up about 37 points. The Hang Seng is down a little bit. The Shanghai is down a little bit as well. Oil is trading at about $50.45 a barrel, which is off just about 0.25. A couple of quick stories that we're covering for you this morning. The former chairman and CEO of Equifax says the challenge of responding to the concerns of tens of millions of consumers after a massive data breach proved overwhelming, and he says regrettably mistakes were made. He offered prepared testimony yesterday to Congress outlining the steps that the company is taking to regain the nation's trust, but says it will not be easy, nor will it be cheap. The new CEO of Uber will meet with London transport officials just days after they refused to renew the cab-hailing app's license to operate. The CEO of the company expected to meet today. Uber wants to keep operating in the capital and has appealed the decision that it is not fit and proper as an operator. Coffee Con is coming up this weekend, October 7th and 8th. Kevin Sinnott is the creator and host of Coffee Con. We're very happy to have Kevin this morning here on The Opening Bell. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm very well. Welcome to the program, and
thank you
for bringing the wonderful aroma. It's radio, so people can't smell it, but wow. Can you describe that aroma?
That is aroma. I think it has like a, there's a certain just light notes of nutmeg, fig. And, of course, there's just something about coffee. It just has this, I'll tell you what, baked bread, it has probably the same reason. It's a kind of a caramelization of sugars from just being roasted, you know, the little seeds.
Yeah. You talked about the aroma taking you. It takes me back.
Yeah.
I can remember moments where I've had a wonderful cup of coffee. I can remember sitting with my grandmother at the breakfast table having coffee.
Yeah.
It really is that sort of beverage, isn't it?
Well, there's research that says that smells are the most memorable of any of the senses, you know, so you do have these smells. I mean, if you have like your grandmother had like a cedar chest or something, you know, you can never forget that smell, and coffee's the same way.
She had a takes me back a number of years. She had a percolator where you would put it on the stove and it would one of those. So that was the coffee that we had with her.
The percolator and the percolator is credited with destroying the coffee industry. Mm-hmm. It's not true, by the way, but it's been proven not to be true. But it's the percolator has the best aroma of any coffee brewer. In fact, if I were a rich man, what I would do is I was going to break into a song, didn't you? If I was a rich man, I would certainly brew a second cup of coffee, a pot of coffee, out of percolator just for the aroma while I'm brewing the coffee I'm going to drink in a drip maker.
If you listen very closely in the background, you can hear the, what is that we're hearing?
We're warming up, and we are using a form of percolation, what used to be called a percolator years ago. I don't want to confuse things too much, but we're using a new coffee maker that just was introduced by Bodum. It's an automatic, and it's called a siphon. Mm. And sometimes it's called a vacuum maker. And if you watch old films in the 30s, you'll see this was ubiquitous at that time. It was the way to make coffee, and they've reintroduced it, only they've added some touches by automating the process.
It almost looks like something you might find in a laboratory.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it was invented by Robert Napier, who was a laboratory guy in, I think, Scotland. At least he's the one who got the patent.
Do you consider yourself a guru of coffee, a connoisseur, or an expert? How do you describe yourself when you meet people?
I'm really a passionate consumer is how I view myself. I've never worked a day in the coffee business. I probably would be, I've just been fired from so many things, I wonder why I haven't tried being a barista. But I definitely am a coffee connoisseur, yes, and I'm an author, and I like to write, and I just love coffee.
You're also the founder, creator and host of CoffeeCon, and it's coming this week. Is it people sharing your passion, drinking coffee and talking about the latest trends, or what? Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's a giant love-in about coffee. I mean, that's what it is in a nutshell. And what it? Oh, hold on. I've got an important job to do.
Okay.
Hang on, Steve.
Okay, all right.
I've got to put this.
We're going to take a break. Kevin works on the coffee. We have to do that anyway. So we're with Kevin Sinnott this morning, creator and host of CoffeeCon. He's literally making a pot of coffee right here in our studio this morning. And we'll continue with that process.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, investors pushed the major stock indexes higher on Monday, the Dow Jones closing 125 points higher at 22,557. The S&P 500 advanced 10 points. The NASDAQ ended the session 21 points higher at a new record high, 65.16. Equifax says an additional 2.5 million Americans may have been affected by the company's massive security breach. In all, more than 145 million consumers may have had personal data exposed. Coming in the next 18 months, two new electric cars from General Motors and more than 20 hybrid electric or hydrogen fuel cell vehicles by 2023. GM says that at some point, its entire lineup of vehicles will be zero emission. And Facebook is rolling out more measures to increase transparency in advertising, even as it provides Congress with more than 3,000 advertisements linked to a Russian ad agency. Facebook says it's planning to hire more than 1,000 people to staff global ad review teams. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 520 this morning here on The Opening Bell. Kevin Sinnott is here. He's the creator and host of CoffeeCon, which is this weekend, October 7th and 8th. And we're making coffee here in the studio this morning, talking about coffee during the break. Kevin, I asked, as we were doing all of this in the commercial break, what do you think of the state of coffee today? I was asking about the Keurig machine and other coffee machines. I bet you have lots of opinions about those.
Lots of them. The beans have never been better. The access to fresh coffee, we're living in a golden age. Don't you wish some days you wake up that we were living in the 1930s and going to the movies tonight? You know, and you had to choose between Gary Cooper and Clark Gable and William Powell. Well, in terms of coffee, that's where we're at. I mean, we got great beans, access to great beans, a lot of thoughtful roasters who've never known more about coffee and never had more control over the process. These are significant advances over a relatively short period of time ago. That's better. The farmers, better. The challenges today are still people don't know how to brew. And one thing people got to understand about coffee, if you're going to get into it, It's more like being a home theater aficionado than it's or a cook, because it's a culinary art. You have to learn to brew, because unlike wine or beer, which you can get great craft beer, you can get fantastic wine and never know a thing about venting wine, you have to know how to brew to get great coffee at home.
What are the secrets? What is the biggest mistake people make?
Okay, a couple of them. Pre-ground coffee, of course, is out. I'm assuming your audience everyone's got some sort of grinder at home. Mm-hmm. And you should. You should have a burr grinder. That's a minimum fee of entry, and they're not expensive anymore. The other thing is, even fresh, you want your beans theoretically a week out of or 2 weeks out of the roaster. That's it, unless you freeze it or find some other way to preserve it. We'll talk about that if you want. But then the other thing, you grind fresh, use fresh, good water. I would use bottled water. Chicago's got decent water, lake water, if you use a Brita filter or something like that to remove the chlorine, or just let it set out. And then you want to measure properly. You've got to have the right coffee brewer, because you've got to get the water up to 200 degrees. It's the only way.
You've actually brought water. You mm-hmm. buy the jug of water.
Yep.
Pre-made water, but that's what you distilled water.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's hopefully not. Here's what it is. It probably is distilled. In fact, what they do is they add some minerals, because you need some minerals just enough to add some taste, so it doesn't taste strange.
Okay.
I always feel like when I'm drinking distilled water that I must be an iron or something, because it's the idea is there's no minerals in it, but it's a little flat tasting. But you want some slight effervescence to the water. I know it sounds like what I'm saying is really nerdy stuff, but you'll taste it.
Well, I don't think it's nerdy, because I think, you know, when you have a wonderful cup of coffee, you think, oh, how did that get made? I want to do that. I want to recreate that.
Exactly.
So I'm sure there are people taking notes right now.
And that's what they get to do at coffee counter.
You also, is the storage part of this, because you said mm-hmm. if it's any more than 2 weeks, you've brought an amazing sort of a vacuum seal container.
Yeah, look at
here.
This thing.
I'm guessing this is the latest in technology.
I hadn't even seen this before about a month ago, 2 months ago, and I met the inventor, and he said he would send me one. They always say they'll send you one, and they never hear from mm-hmm. them again, but they go into a different business. But he's going to be a coffee con, but it's really does seem to work. And what he does is you get these CO2 cartridges at Target or you know, wherever, Walmart, and you can inject. And what it really does, you put this on something, and it actually sucks. It vacuums it, mm-hmm. and then it injects the CO2 in it, and it actually preserves the beans. You can go up to, he says, at least 3 months. That's pretty good. That's pretty good storage. Just imagine being able to buy eggs and keep them 3 months.
Because I made the mistake of opening that before we went on the air, and we should have done that while we were on the air, because when I opened it, it went, you can hear the vacuum going away. So
10 days ago, I did that saying, Steve's show's coming up.
So you vacuumed it 10 days ago?
Yes, I did. Oh.
Well, that was sort of anticlimactic.
I'll save the rest of it for my therapy session today. But anyway, it's no big deal. It was actually, we did want to open it anyway because we're brewing on the air. So, but it is, there is that whoosh. It's a cool sound.
The Coffee Con event, what will people be talking about? What do you think is going to be the hot topic this weekend?
First of all, I only had created it because I wanted to go to it. If someone else had done it, I would have just bought a ticket myself. Maybe I would have bought a ticket for my wife, too, and because she would go with me. But I definitely, and if they offered a great deal like we do, no, I'm kidding. Coffee Con is all about tasting all the roasters, and we got 20 roasters there. I mean, you're going to get to, and what people don't understand, one will have a Colombian coffee, and another will have a Colombian coffee. They will not taste the same. They'll be from different fincas or farms. Mm-hmm. They'll have different, it's just like going to the apple orchard. Don't you just love tasting the different apples? Yeah. It's the same thing. You'll taste them right next to each other, brewed perfectly. That's the main thing about Coffee Con, nothing else. The other thing is the classes. Really learn how to make coffee at home. 70% of the coffee in this country, that's a vast majority. Don't you wish we had a president that got 70% of the vote? Yeah. You could, 70% of coffee is brewed at home. It's really critical to learn how to brew it. It's not a small thing either. And it's just like learning how to make a decent stir fry.
Yeah. And this sort of segues into my next question, and that is, if you're not willing to do all of what we're doing here mm-hmm. or what you do at home, is there a place where you, like in Chicago, where you can go have a good cup of coffee that you would make at home? Are they doing in the restaurants and places and coffee shops?
Well, you mentioned a word that I wish was associated with great coffee, and it's restaurants, and it isn't. Restaurant coffee, half the time, honestly, isn't this true? We'll go out to eat, and my wife's here.
Don't we
go out to eat? And you will look at me, and you'll say, are you going to make coffee when we get home? And if I say yes, we skip dessert. So learn that, restaurateurs.
Right. A good cup of coffee.
And a good cup of coffee. And most coffee isn't very good. A couple of years ago, Bun came out with something called a trifecta. I thought it would just go gangbusters in restaurants because it's a no-brainer way to make great coffee. It's one cup at a time, too. Makes a small amount of coffee, 20, I think, two cups, really. I just was shocked that nobody went for it because it would solve the problem. Because I understand restaurants, they can't afford to train. They get turnover and everything. They really can't teach people. They don't send them to coffee con. There's no way they are going to learn to make great coffee in a restaurant, unfortunately. Most restaurants. There are a couple of exceptions, but the best place to get coffee, of course, out is cafes. We got a lot of great cafes here.
It's funny that you're talking about your wife who's here. We had this conversation as well. I'm guessing that there are relationships that are built or broken on coffee taste.
Ours is built on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Saved our marriage.
Because I'd asked you, I said, what if your wife didn't like coffee? How would that work? And you're like, it would never be that.
I can't imagine. It would be just wrong.
So tell us how we can come to CoffeeCon. Do we buy tickets or find it online?
Buy tickets. Please, buy tickets. I should put a subliminal tape together. Buy tickets. Yeah. And you go online, coffee-con.com. I couldn't get coffee without the dash.com, just like Comic-Con. That's where we stole it.
So should we have a cup of coffee here? Let's have
a cup of coffee.
We're going to drink a cup of coffee with Kevin Sinnott, creator and host of CoffeeCon. He's going to stick around for a second. We'll tell you how it tastes when we come back.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 541. It's our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. We had been planning to talk to a business reporter at The Washington Post this segment about Walmart and the holiday season, but we're having some technical problems getting that. But guess what? Kevin's still here, and we're still enjoying our coffee. Kevin Sinnott of CoffeeCon, and just having a wonderful conversation there during the news about your life and coffee. And you even travel with a coffee pot. I find that amazing.
Absolutely. And in fact, I had a job once working on cable TV shows, and the crews would ask for me as a producer because I always would bring a Chemex with me, which is glass. So you can imagine how many I went through.
Yeah, I would imagine. What does that create a problem with TSA, or are they generally okay with it?
You know, it's a great conversation breaker with them. They always a lot of questions, and you know, pretty soon I'm, you know, affirming my love for America, and you know, there's
my love for America and coffee. Here, coffee. By the way, have another sip of coffee. We also have been talking about CoffeeCon this weekend, and I've been going over the schedule, and you've got a lot of different talks underway. A lot of different people are going to be there.
Yeah, everyone. I mean, we get the experts. And not only that, how many classes do we have, Pat? 20?
Yeah, it was
20 classes?
I'm looking at the grid here. It looks
it's
like
you've
quite.
Yeah.
So this is well worth the ticket, which is $20. Pat reminded us in our break that's $20 at coffee-con.com. What would you say is going to be the most attended of all of these talks?
One of them is an extra ticket device it's already sold out for Saturday, I think. Close to it if it's not. It always is. It's a tasting class where it teaches you how to taste coffee. There's another class, too, that Pat gives, and she's not a coffee person at all in any way professionally. But you know what? It's a class on how to throw a party. It's how to throw a tasting party, just like you'd have a wine tasting party.
Yeah.
But there are some specifics to coffee that make it fun and unusual, and that will also be jammed.
Yeah, because I've been asking you lots of questions about your own connoisseur. For instance, do you put anything in your coffee? Cream and sugar, or always black?
Steve, the first cup of the day, this is, I know a lot of people are going to tune me out from the third wave of coffee, we can explain that in a second, but I always put cream in my first cup of coffee. I just have to have it. It's just something about it to me. It says morning.
You don't want to wait for it to cool off.
No, that's right, too. The cream has that purpose. Yes, it lowers the temperature at least 10 degrees, and that brings forth the complexity.
What's it like keeping up the coffee lifestyle? Is it an expensive life to have and a hobby to have? I know you've written books and you have DVDs and you do all this other stuff. I'm sure you make a living off of it, but is it difficult keeping up with all this?
Yeah, I've spent more than I've made. You know, the thing is, they built the industry on the spenders, folks, right. Just like Vegas.
Right.
And everything is definitely, I'm a coffee person who every time. I mean, what Pat can't believe is I'll get, 6 pounds some roaster will send me, and then I'm out buying coffee that night because I got an impulse at the Standard Market and I spotted a coffee I didn't have.
Keeping coffee, we talked about the new technology that you have here, the VacuSeal, but somebody is sending on Twitter this morning, do you ever keep coffee in the refrigerator?
No. That's probably one thing that would absolutely terminate a friendship for me instantly. But I definitely, I do if it's cold brewed coffee, of course. And by the way, cold brew is, we'll have a coffee con. There's a big surge in cold brew, meaning cold brew and just cold enjoyment. That are, in other words, coffees that are brewed hot and kept cold. That's a big trend. But I don't keep, I know what they mean, though. They mean coffee beans in the refrigerator. No. I do, however, keep them in the freezer.
One of the other trends, too, is infused coffee. Do you know about what is infused coffee?
I've seen infusions coffee.
Where they've infused, apparently. This is a question from Twitter, but what do you think of infused coffee? I'm guessing that's infused with other flavors, or they're somehow brewing it with...
You stumped me. Yeah, I don't know what that means exactly. If we're talking about flavoring coffee, coffee has so many flavors. And forgive me if I'm going in the wrong direction on this, but if we're talking about infusing coffee with other flavors, generally speaking, no. I mean, I think coffee's got so much complexity. There's supposed to be 800, different flavors in coffee. That's crowded enough. I don't need any more.
I mentioned the books and things that you've done. Of those, is the Coffee Companion still the centerpiece?
Yeah, Coffee Companion is my blog, and that's where I live. I mean, that's where everything really ends up and goes, and I've got old articles. It's like I can get lost there even trying to go through and, massage it a little bit. There's all sorts of, there's articles from 1994 there, my first review.
Do you ever feel like you've had too much coffee?
I'm sure medically I'm sure there's a test at Walgreens that'll determine that, but I definitely, yeah. No wonder they wouldn't hire me to be a toll booth operator. I'm a high energy person. I don't think the coffee, if I don't have coffee, people have said, you must get a whopping headache if you don't have coffee. I've had the rare occasion where I am not able to have coffee, partly because how can I carve out 20 minutes to make coffee? Some days I can't. So I end up walking around for a while and realize I haven't had any coffee yet. I don't get any side effects.
Yeah, sometimes when I have a coffee and I feel like it hasn't kicked in or it hasn't worked, is that the sign of a bad cup of coffee?
Well, it might be a sign of a bad job. I mean, that's a sign of a bad something. It could be. Frankly, the coffee that we're drinking, let me point out something. Caffeine is a natural part of coffee. There's no doubt about it. But if you think about it, the connoisseurs are paying extra for coffees that have the lowest caffeine. Nowhere in the drug spectrum of America do people do that.
Yeah.
Right? They don't pay for the low THC marijuana. They don't pay for low alcohol beer, craft beer. But in coffee, the Arabica coffee, which is what we drink, for the most part, is the beans are the lowest caffeine.
The other thing too is health. There's been all kinds of studies about coffee and health.
Yeah.
Where do you come down on that? I've known people that drank coffee that lived into their 90s.
Yeah,
as a daily.
Absolutely. I visited my mother last night. She's 96, and she is a steady coffee drinker. She drinks Peet's Major Dickinson's blend, and she double brews it, so she brews it twice as strong as anyone at Pete's brews it. And she's, as far as I can tell, going to outlive me.
Yeah. The coffee now has cooled a little bit. We brewed earlier, and there's another flavor that I'm getting. I can't put my finger on.
That's
it. What is it? It's almost almost a berry flavor.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely some cherry in there.
Yeah.
And it is, coffee as it cools, in my opinion, and I've measured it, believe me, 140 to 160 is my range. I love coffee in that taste range. It's a lot cooler than a lot of people would have it, but the first, I first brew it, and if it's brewed properly, it is pretty hot. I definitely like to let it cool a minute or two.
Kevin, again, thanks for being here this morning, and good luck at CoffeeCon this weekend.
Hey, thanks.
Kevin Sinnott, coffee brewing expert. CoffeeCon is at coffee-con.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:53 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures up 27. NASDAQ futures are up about 4. S&P futures up about a point. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The weekly crop progress report issued yesterday by the Department of Agriculture showed a surprising 2% increase for the corn crop in the good to excellent category, and corn harvest 17% complete nationally. That's about 10% below the five-year average. Soybean harvest coming in at 22% of the nation's acres, and that's down about 4 percentage points from the five-year average. As we look at one of the concerns that grain farmers in the Midwest currently have, they're running out of options for their just harvested corn and soybeans because of delays on the Mississippi River. That's the main conduit for crops to export markets. It's causing shipping backups and grain storage on the riverbanks filling up. Blame it on low river levels and backups at aging locks that have slowed navigation on the Mississippi and its tributaries and driven the cost of hauling Midwestern crops to Gulf Coast export terminals to near record highs. Well, today is opening day of World Dairy Expo at Madison, Wisconsin. It runs through this Saturday. And tomorrow evening, the Night of Honors will honor the International Dairyman and the National Dairy Farmer and the National Lady Dairy Farmer, among those being honored tomorrow on Wednesday night at the Honors Dinner at World Dairy Expo. We'll see you there on Wednesday. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Let's get a look at the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday. It's October 3rd. A couple of economic reports coming out today. The monthly auto sales numbers will be released throughout the morning. There are also a couple of important hearings on Capitol Hill. First of all, the Equifax CEO will be back, the former CEO, before the House Subcommittee, Commerce Subcommittee. President Trump will visit hurricane-ravaged Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. The Senate Judiciary Committee will hold a hearing on the decision to end DACA, and a joint committee on hearing will look at tax reform and entrepreneurship. The Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, also hears a key case from Wisconsin today, Wisconsin redistricting. It's a gerrymandering case. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, October 3rd.